This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that tries to find the little bit of homo in every film. I'm Kylie Eddy.
And I'm Paul Tonta.
And we have an action-packed show full of queer film today. We are just spoilt for choice, the gays, this month.
So exciting.
So what have we got on the show, Paul?
We're going to be reviewing the new film starring James Franco called Howl. And we'll also be delving deep into the Melbourne Queer Film Festival program because it starts this coming week. So we'll be looking at four films.
Yeah, we want to get a kind of a bit of a jump because, let's face it, tickets will be selling fast. So we just want to give some of our picks. In the next couple of weeks, we will be talking a lot about Melbourne Queer Film Festival. It is for us. It's like the Nirvana of cinema for us.
11 days of heaven.
So we're also doing something that is kind of a little bit different for us. We've got a fantastic guest coming into the studio today. We'll be speaking to the general manager of Cinema Nova, Christian Connolly, and there's been a bit of a queer renaissance of films. There's a whole bunch of films that are not only playing at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, but a lot of them are getting a big screen release at Cinema Nova. So we're going to be chatting about that as well.
A number of films. So, yeah, that's very exciting.
There's actually a lot.
There are
It's
many.
Not just one or two.
Over the next coming months, yes, so.
One of those films is Howl. So we'll be reviewing that up next before we get stuck into interviews and queer film stuff.
But we've got a prize. We've got two prizes. This has been our first one, Kylie.
Yes, it's a triple choc pass, which actually gets you into three sessions at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. It's fantastic. You get to choose which films you would like. And this is our major prize for today. So we're going to make you work. Work for it, peeps.
Get that grey matter happening. Come on.
Yeah, and you know us. It's going to be a really tough question. And it's not even a right or wrong answer.
No.
It's purely objective. Subjective.
What do you think? Yeah, we've had a few of these fun ones. I like the Nicole Kidman one a few weeks ago. That was lots of fun. So,
well, we're going to do our poll today, and what we're asking for is for you to please tell us who is your favourite big Hollywood actor who has played gay for pay. This has been brought about because James Franco is playing gay again in Howl. And there are lots of films and lots of actors that seem to be getting Oscar nominations.
Yes, of course. An actor, of course, is, you know, not gender specific.
That's right.
Of course, in the traditional Hollywood sense.
We're being very modern. We're just saying actors. Yes. So, you know, they can be the gents or the ladies. All you need to do is SMS us on 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au, or you can even actually call us on 1300 JOY 949 because Michael on support is there waiting for your calls. And tell us who is your favourite Hollywood actor who's played gay in a film, and the film, plus your membership number. You must be a JOY Melbourne member to be eligible for the draw and not have won a prize in 2 weeks. And if you're not a member, why not? But you can still join in.
You can join
in. You can join in the fun, and we'll let everyone know what your picks are.
And we'll give ours, and if you know, as we get going, because I've got a couple.
Yeah, I've already put one up on Facebook to get the party started. You can always join in and comment on Facebook if that's your thing. Just search for Pink Popcorn. We're always happy to hear your thoughts. So let's jump into some music. He's one of our favourite artists at the moment, Robin, with Call Your Girlfriend. You're on Pink Popcorn with Paul and Kylie on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
In San Francisco, 1957, a literary masterpiece was put on trial. Howl is the award-winning film about Allen Ginsberg's incendiary poem and this pivotal moment in the birth of the counterculture movement.
I started writing poetry because I fell in love and I needed to express my feelings.
Howl. I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked.
Would you say that Howl,
the poem by Ginsberg,
is obscene?
Yes.
Holy, holy, holy.
If it has any literary value, it's negligible.
Holy Kerouac, holy Cassidy.
Who blew and were blown by those human seraphim.
You feel like you're going through the gutter when you read that.
Kylie, Hal, your thoughts?
There is so much to talk about this film. On the surface, it seems deceptively simple. It's actually taken from the poem Hal and transcripts from interviews with Allen Ginsberg, the author, plus trial documents from, this was the centrepiece of an obscenity trial in 1957. Yep. And it's, you kind of go, how's that all going to work? How's it going to make sense? And yet, through this kind of artificial construct, it is such a richly rewarding experience that both moved me, entertained me, and educated me. And I need some educating. Yeah. So I found it incredible.
It is. And I think one of the strong suits, obviously, I think the performances are fantastic. It's interesting because every single word in this film is real. It's either, as you said, the poem, transcripts, or an interview. So basically, it's a dramatized documentary of sorts. But I think the real strength is the direction. And it's Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman, who, for me, they're actually some of my favourite filmmakers.
I agree.
They're documentary. They've won multiple Academy Awards, films like The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, Common Thread, Stories from the Quilt, and my favourite film. I'm actually getting goosebumps because it's insane. It's called Paragraph 174, about queer Holocaust survivors. They're extraordinary, extraordinary filmmakers, and they just bring such intelligence. And you know, as you said, like, it could be a bit confusing, but there's such, you know, the narrative in this film, they hold it together beautifully. And, you know,
There are moments there because it does kind of, it's almost like three threads are going at the same time. So there's the actual retelling of the poem that is then visualized through animation. And then there's an interview with Allen Ginsberg later in his life. And then also it's kind of this courtroom drama. And just when you think, I've got a handle on it, it switches into another form and it brings you a deeper level of understanding. Mm. Oh,
and
great.
It is. And I'm not a huge fan of poetry. I've just got to say that now. And you know, and so
neither am I.
Yeah, and I think the great thing,
film people.
We are. And the film actually, you know, really through lots of visual means and some fantastic animation, really brings it to life. And it kind of, not that it dumbs it down, but it does kind of, you know, make it palatable for, you know.
Well, I felt like I walked away understanding that poem. And I have a funny feeling that if I tried to read that on my own, I would not have that same level of feeling. And I think the thing is as well about poetry, like in films, sometimes, I mean, they do have a lot in common because sometimes you have an understanding that is not necessarily intellectual. This sounds like it's quite an intellectual film, but it's actually the opposite of that. It brings forth this kind of deep understanding that is almost, I mean, it's like the howl of the title of the poem. It comes from quite deep within.
It does.
And it's an understanding that is more emotional and guttural and rather than intellectual.
Yeah, and this is 54 years ago. I mean, that's extraordinary. I mean, and
it's still relevant now.
It is, and it really kick-started the beat culture. You know, of course, On the Road, which is being filmed at the moment with Kristen Stewart. So, you know, you've got this you know, era, which is really two generations ago, that is basically, it's never gone out of fashion, but, you know, it's another wave at the moment.
It certainly hasn't gone
through out
of fashion. I am wearing my 50s-inspired glasses today just in honour.
They look outstanding.
Thank you. It's great radio. But it does feel like the filmmakers have taken the best parts of this and somehow made it feel contemporary, made it accessible, and at the same time, there are parts of it that are really challenging. I mean, in the interview part, you know, James Franco, who plays the title character, is absolutely fantastic. Yep. And he deserves any accolades he gets for this film. And as the character, he sort of talks about why he wanted to become an artist, the role of the artist in culture and society and what that means. Plus, he also delves into how for a long time he wanted to be a straight man and didn't want to be gay.
That's actually
and
very interesting.
It's really interesting, and he's kind of, and how he sort of dealt with that, his time in a mental institution and also the loss of his mother.
Yes.
But it's not done in a biopic narrative way. It is done in a very non-traditional way, yet that still feels like a story. At the end, the closure and the understanding of his place in as one of the world's great poets,
absolutely the greats,
is so rewarding.
Yep. Yeah, it is wonderful. Well, how many stars would you give it, Kylie?
Well, first of all, I'd say there's lots of queer content in this.
Massive.
I mean, really, obviously, the obscenity trial was not just about the language. It was also about homosexuality. And, you know, this was still the time when shock treatment was the viable option for curing homosexuality. So on that level, it's amazing. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, I'm giving it 4 as well.
I really loved it. So that's a screening in limited release, and we totally recommend going and checking it out. You'll feel educated and entertained, I assure you. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. This is a Pink Popcorn podcast. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. We've just had a few people SMS in. Someone asked, what was the title of the film? And I assume they were excited about the film that we got excited about in the last segment. It's called Howl. So check
H-O-W-L.
It out.
H-O-W-L.
As in, well, I was going to do a howling sound, yeah. But that's... Ooh. Oh, well, you can do that. There you go. I was going to say that's a bit naff, but...
Thanks. It was naff.
Also, we're running our competition to win a triple choc pass, which is 3 films of your choice to the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. All you have to do is let us know who is your favourite Hollywood actor who's played gay for pay. We've had a few people enter. Anonymous has said Piper Predibo. Oh, she's gorgeous. Who's in just about everything she does. She plays a bit gay. Ewan McGregor in I Love You, Philip Morris. We'll be talking about that film in a second. And also, Rosie has said Sean Penn in Milk.
Oh, yes.
So keep those answers coming in. Please SMS us on 0427-JOY-949 or you can call Michael on 1300-JOY-949 and actually speak to a real person or just email us onair@joy.org.au. You must be a Joy member and not have won anything in the last 2 weeks and you can go in the draw to win that. We'll be doing that before the end of the show. But right now, we're very excited to have a guest in the studio. Cinema Nova has a reputation in Melbourne for screening the best independent films that the world has to offer. And in the coming months, the Cinema Nova has featured a selection of films that could easily be categorised as a queer renaissance. These are such films as How We Just Spoke About, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, which is out now. Plus coming up, there's Kaboom, Love You, Philip Morris, and Petish, and all that and more. And to join us to talk about this trend is Christian Connolly, who's a general manager at Cinema Nova. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Oh, I need to take a breath. That was a big intro.
It was. It was huge. Oh, my God.
Oh, there's no time.
We shouldn't have so many films out there.
And our next song is...
No time for any interview now. So I just wanted to ask a little bit for our listeners, what's your history in the world of cinema and what makes you want to work for a theatrical distributor?
Well, it's a funny thing. I mean, I've always been interested in cinema. I think it came from my father having a passion for movies as well. Like going to places like the Valhalla over in Northcote and watching old 3D movies. And I've got a lot of nostalgia for a lot of old theatres that are now long gone. But I've always really, really enjoyed cinema and the experience of cinema and you know, where it takes you. And when I left school, I dabbled in university and that just didn't quite work and wound up working in hospitality, but kept on sort of focusing on the film industry and the things that I didn't know about it and kind of learned a lot about it long before the internet ever came along. And it was it wound up actually being useful one day because when I decided to get out of the hospitality industry and move into cinemas, a lot of the things that obviously I did in restaurants applied to cinema management. But the great thing was a lot of the things that I'd learned over the years through books and Variety, a trade magazine, and various other sources actually came in useful because after about a year, I think, running the Rivoli in Camberwell and Knox Cinemas over in Wantirna, I wound up getting a job in head office, which was terrific because that gave me the opportunity to actually start picking the pictures that we wound up playing at the cinemas that I was looking after.
Yeah, it's a big job and it's a big responsibility.
It is. You've got to effectively know what the audience wants to see before the audience even knows that it's out there or even that it's on the horizon. And things that obviously help you make that decision are things like trailers and obviously the pedigree of the filmmaker, the stars, and then eventually when you see the final film.
Mm. As Kylie mentioned, the film's coming up, I mean, right now with Howl and the Millennium Trilogy, mm-hmm. but also things like, I mean, Petish coming up, you know, some really great queer cinema made by, you know, queer filmmakers as well. It's quite an interesting time, but I mean, do you sort of see a trend, I mean, we talk about this trend, but at the moment, but say, you know, like you've had things like Brokeback Mountain and The Kids Are Alright, do you think this period is one of the strongest?
I think so. Certainly in recent years, that's for sure. I mean, a lot of our listeners will think back to the sort of the mid-90s when we had Priscilla and Muriel's and a lot of other very camp films come along. And I think that really kind of set the tone. Unfortunately, it was kind of undermined by a lot of really bad Australian films and international films after the fact. But one of the things that brought me to this point where we are now, I suppose, actively programming films that appeal to a queer audience came from actually finding a huge pile of old archived pieces of material that I collected about 15 years ago when I was a lot younger. And in amongst this was actually an old copy of The EG from about 15 years ago. And it was extraordinary because the amount of cinemas that existed in Melbourne 15 years ago, you'd actually think, oh, there's a lot around now. There were so many more back then. You had the Carlton Movie House in Carlton, as well as a place, there's one in Reservoir, I believe. I can't remember the name of it. Plus, obviously, a lot of other little sort of smaller single screen cinemas sort of dotted around the city. And now we've had a lot more multiplexes into the market. But unfortunately, my opinion is that a lot of the cinemas that used to play a great diversity of independent cinema from across the world have become more and more mainstream in what they do. Kind of the Rivoli model, if you will, which is sort of the best of blockbusters and everything, as well as sort of the best that Europe, say, has to offer. And so, you know, I saw an opportunity to really put more films into the market for people that really don't get the opportunity to go along and check out films that are about themselves, because I think we love seeing ourselves on screen, and, and if there's not the opportunity to see it, it can kind of be counterproductive to people's, I suppose, confidence and knowledge.
I mean, it's also quite, I guess, the recent shift with big blockbuster films is the fact as well that films have to prove themselves on the first weekend, that there's no room for films that have a chance to grow. And if you look at something like The King's Speech, I mean, that would have not, you know, that's one of those films that you need time to go and look at it now. It's still going gangbusters after, 11 weeks out.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, the thing is that particularly audiences that enjoy fine film, they're not first weekend audiences in the way that blockbusters are. And many of your listeners will know that we recently expanded in the last 6 months and added an additional 4 screens to the location, which brings us up to 15 screens now. And whilst we do play King's Speech and we're playing Rango, but I mean, that's because that's such a crazy, crazy movie. If anyone gets along to see it, it's quite bizarre to think that a Hollywood studio made it. But, we've got the ability to play these movies on effectively to the natural conclusion. A great example is The Fighter, a film that that really is all but gone from cinemas now. My favourite film of last year, in fact, that I had the opportunity to see it last year. And after the Oscars, obviously, there's been this huge resurgence in interest, and we've seen some great numbers coming through the door to check out that great film.
Yeah, I mean, I think something like I Love You, Philip Morris is a good example of where, you know, it has not really struggled to find its place, even though it's got Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey, two of the, most reliable actors. And yet, how can you find a place for it? And
I know, it's strange, isn't it? I'm under the impression that maybe there's some Hollywood people at work here trying to keep Jim Carrey's gay movie out of the market.
Conspiracy theories start here. People.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's got a very family-friendly coming out mid-year. Yes. We don't want that the boxes being compromised there. So,
and so some of the films coming up, we've got I Love You, Philip Morris on April 7, Potiche April 21, and Kaboom, which is on March 24, which is also opening the Melbourne Queer Film Festival next week. So there's, plenty coming up, and there'll be more, throughout the year as well, which is wonderful. And they're all exclusive releases. Oh, Petitia is not, but the other three are, which is wonderful.
Yeah, well, look, we've tried to really, get some movies out there and make people feel that they can come along and check them out at Cinema Nova.
So we'll put the link on our Facebook page so you can find out more. Christian, it's been so great having you come in and talk to us. We could talk about this for ages, but we have to play another track and get on with the show, sadly. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul on Joy. This is a Pink Popcorn podcast. This is Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul on Joy 94.9. We have been having heaps of entries to our competition today, which is a winner triple chop pass to Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
And it's name your favourite gay for pay actor.
So Paris has said that she liked Jonathan Rhys-Meyers in Velvet Goldmine. I agree. I think that's one of his best performances.
And another Ewan McGregor performance.
Yes, Ewan can't keep his gay off.
Or he's willy in his pants.
He loves a nude film. Also, John has said he likes a Joseph Gordon-Levitt in... Is it Lovett?
Levitt
in A Mysterious Skin. He was fantastic in Inception. And that's,
yeah, Greg Araki film.
Yeah, not Inception.
No. Mysterious Skin is a Greg Araki film.
So, and Kaboom, which is opening Melbourne Queer Film Festival, is his latest film. Oh, God, we just know too much. And also... No, that's all the entries.
Yeah, that's it. We've got a few. They're coming through now, thick and fast. We'll go through them in the next break. In this segment, we'll be talking about the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which starts on Thursday for 11 days of glorious queerness. Our first film is Leading Ladies. The Camparis are a family of women in which everyone knows her place. Sherry is a larger-than-life, overbearing stage mum. Her youngest daughter, Tassie, is the precocious darling of the local amateur ballroom circuit, and her eldest daughter, Tony, is Tassie's practice partner, the tomboy wallflower who must quietly support them all. But when Tassie falls pregnant while rehearsing for the year's major ballroom competition, and Tony meets and falls in love with Mona, how will the Camparis deal with the sudden change?
We did not just get second place. We are not second best. We are not second place.
My mother would tell you that this was supposed to be my sister's story.
Maybe we were wrong about Kelly Green. Maybe it's fuchsia.
And sometimes my sister gets so caught up in Cherie's crazy that she believes this is actually the case.
It's not about you. This is about me. This is about me, damn it.
It's all about me, damn it.
That's where we sometimes had that fight in the studio. Exactly.
Come on, I'm talking. Now I'm talking. This is a lot of fun. I mean, really, it's quite interesting. If you look at on the Queer Film Festival site, they have the trailers for, I think, most of the films, if not all of them. And this doesn't at all tell you that there's the heart of this film is a lesbian story. It's all sort of about the sister and the mother and the mother's, the sister who's the ballroom dancer, her dance partner in the actual competitions is super camp and gay. And so that's what it's all about, wackiness. But the heart of this film is this really cool relationship that the older sister has. It's a very sweet relationship. The film is incredibly entertaining.
It looks like so much fun. And
it's
really
lots of fun.
Colourful and a kind of upbeat soundtrack.
Yeah,
and
lots of fun.
You know, all of that kind of stuff, which is what you want.
It's funny with, over the number of years with, I'm on the selection committee of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival for a number of years. And I think lesbian films over the years have been, they haven't been that great.
They've been a bit dour as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's always, every year there are some shining lights, but there's sort of not that many. But this year is actually quite a strong year, and this is one of the best lesbian features out there. It's stacks of fun.
There's actually heaps. I've found that there's a lot of films for lesbians this year.
Mm.
It seems like it's almost like an equal balance, and sometimes we are not that lucky. So it's great that there's a really big, fun kind of American lesbian film.
Yeah. So that one is called Leading Ladies.
So you're going to have to actually go to mqff.com.au and, you know, you can see all the info on there. We'll also put a link on the website on our Facebook page. The other film that we wanted to talk about as well in this segment is Prima Donna, which is actually the story of Rufus Wainwright and his debut opera. I mean, this guy is amazing. Basically, this chronicles the last couple of years when Rufus decided that he wanted to transform his pop career into writing a full-blown opera in French.
Mm.
I mean, it does help that he is bilingual anyway. He grew up in Montreal, so he does speak French. You know.
Le Français.
Yes.
He's a damn overachiever though, isn't he, this Rufus?
Oh my goodness. And his family. What I loved about this documentary was actually getting an insight to his family. Of course, I'm so slow. I didn't realise that Martha Wainwright, who's touring the country at the moment, is his sister.
Yep.
Oh, it's crazy. And both of his parents, they divorced when he was quite young, but they're both equally talented in their own right. And very sadly, his mother passed away a year ago.
Yes.
Last month.
And when Rufus toured, early this year, I think.
Oh, yeah, you went along, didn't
you?
Went
along, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And, he actually, his encore, his final, very final song, it was, he sung a song that his mother had written. So, I mean, look, there were stacks of, I keep mixing his name, right? Rufus Rout.
Rufus.
Rufus. There were so many fans out there. And, I mean, I haven't seen this film, but I'm really looking forward to seeing it on the big screen with the fans.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a great one on the big screen because... I have seen it and I really loved it. And what I enjoyed the most about it is the opera music. And the lead opera singer, this kind of opera is about the life of a opera singer, funny enough, and her voice is enough to break your heart. It is absolutely piercing. And just the stress of, I mean, it's quite outrageous to think this little upstart is coming and writing a whole opera. It's like new opera works are just not that common. And so he really has a huge hurdle in front of him. And there's great moments with his boyfriend, who's an arts administrator. Arts administrator and boyfriend. So cute. So, you know, it's a fantastic documentary to check out during the festival. And also, there is something else that I wanted to talk about. We are giving away, look, we've got prizes galore today, but we're giving away a double movie pass to Is It Just Me? This is actually a very special session at the Queer Film Festival that is sponsored by Joy 94.9. And one of the great things is that there's a post-screening party downstairs in the festival lounge with DJ Simon Edwards, who's from People Unite. You can listen to him on Saturdays from 1 to 3am if you happen to be up and into your music. So he'll be at DJing after this screening. Plus, if you're a Joy member, you can actually get your ticket for this screening only at the MQFF members price, which is $13.50. So that's great value. So you can do that at the Acme box office.
And the session is this Friday, the 18th of March at 8:30 p.m.
That's great. So if you would like that double pass and you'd like to win it right now and you're a Joy member and haven't won anything in the last 2 weeks, please call Michael on the front desk on 1-300-JOY-949. The first person to call in will get that double pass. This is Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul on Joy 94.9. And that was Rufus Wainwright singing San Francisco. Oh. And it kind of touches on in the documentary Prima Donna, playing at Melbourne Queer Film Festival, about how he did this concert that is Judy Garland.
The entire concert at Carnegie Hall, including all the little in-between, the talky bits. Amazing, extraordinary voice.
Yeah, he is extraordinary. He is very gifted. We've had a few other comments that have come through via SMS, and Betty is very excited about Piper Perabo. Is that how you say her name?
Perabo, is it?
Perabo?
I'm not sure.
Oh, look, she is very, very hot. And she has also asked, where can you get tickets to MQFF if not on the website? And I would say you can go to Acme.
Yes, Acme box office.
Box office. Or you can go to Hares and Hyenas. They also sell tickets. But, you know, I think the Acme box office is open, you know, during the day. So if you happen to work in the city or be going past, you can just go and book your tickets at the venue. Thanks for asking that. Also, we've had another entry to our competition. Oh, no, we haven't. Oh, I'm just thinking there's just lots of
I'm going to pipe up my favourite, and this is really stupid and obscure. Mine's Harrison Ford in The Conversation. Really obscure.
Really? He played gay?
Well, he did, because I love Harrison Ford and to be gay.
Oh.
And, yeah, you know, he played a gay character in this old 1974 film from Francis Ford Coppola. That's just me.
You are a cinema freak.
A little bit obsessed.
What about Russell Crowe in The Sum of Us? We forget that Russell played gay for pay.
Fantastic. Well, actually, that was a really great film.
That was a great film, and he played that really well. He probably didn't pay that for that much pay, actually. That was very early in his career.
It was,
so.
It was good.
Yeah,
and John Paulson as well. Anyway. Great stuff.
So many. So we're in the midst of talking about Melbourne Queer Film Festival. If you'd like to win a triple chock pass, just let us know who your favourite Hollywood actor is who's played gay for pay. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. We'll be drawing the prize very soon, so get your answers in with your member number, and you can't have won anything in the last 2 weeks.
We'll be talking about a couple of films in this segment. The first one is House of Boys. In 1984, Frank, a good-looking high school kid, runs away to Amsterdam, where he gets swept up in the hedonism of the times and quickly finds his place in a male cabaret, surrounded by an exciting world of sex and music. His roommate is Jake, who's equally hot, and Frank instantly falls for him, but his object desire has a girlfriend. But is Jake really straight in this house of boys?
Once upon a time, somewhere in Europe, there lived a young and happy fairy.
Plan to be a dancer? Runaway?
Well, I'm here.
Well, Frank, welcome to the House of Boys.
As you can tell, the music is fantastic.
Is this set in the '80s?
Oh, is it? Is it really?
And how much do you love it?
Oh god, and the Spandau Ballet in there as well, and the Jimmy Somerville track we heard. So really, it's a pretty great little film. It's a bit of an epic drama. I mean, obviously, you know, it's 1984, so you've got the hedonism in the early days and this young kid coming out. But then, you know, it's the early 80s, so, you know, you can sort of join the dots and know what happens. So the first half of the film, you know, just over the first half, you know, is this, you know, really exciting world and everybody's, you know, good looking and, you know, there's outrageous characters all over the place. But the through line is this relationship because he's lumped in the lead guy Frank with Jake. And you know, every time, because no one, especially girls, are allowed into, or girlfriends are allowed into the place because everyone else is gay. And the lead madam, who's played by Udo Kier, the famous Udo Kier, and he gets chucked out. Fred gets chucked out of the room, so you know Jake can get it on with his girl. But of course, you know, yes, the boys, well, you know, do they get together? I'll leave that up to you to find out. Look, it's also co-star Stephen Fry in a very small role. So you got Udo Kier, who, if anyone, you see his face and you go, oh, yeah, him. He's this great queer actor who's been in, you know, German films, Fassbinder films and what have you. So it's, you know, it's a really big, you know, epic, you know, melodrama spanning, you know, a number of years, but also, you know, the epidemic of HIV AIDS and people coming out, and all set to pulsating music and hot boys.
Sounds
so, you know,
fantastic.
I'm sure that a lot of, you know, Queer Film Festival, you know, thrives on those type of films. So that's lots of fun.
So what's that called? That's
House of Boys. Okay. And one of my favourite films, if not my favourite film of the festival, it's called The Last Summer of La Boyita. Fans of the Argentinian film called XXY, played closing night a few years ago.
It's a phenomenal film.
Which is an intersex drama. This is a very similar themed, but, you know, it deals with kids who are a little bit younger. And that was quite a somber film, not saying this is particularly, you know, Bed of Roses, but it's a really, really wonderful, astute film. It's a young girl. Her parents are divorced. She heads off into the countryside to spend the summer with her father, and she meets this young boy, Mario, who's this really serious, sort of tough kid. He loves horses, and his father pushes him to race these horses. But then one day, and they're riding, and they come back, and Mario, there's a bloodstone on Mario's saddle, and, you know, they go, you know, what's going on? So it's a rite of passage film. But I mean, because they're quite young, you know, there really is this, like that 10, 11 years old, there's a real question and they really have no idea. They're just reliant on their parents. But it's a beautiful film and it's infused with nature. Like it's, you know, obviously the idea of who we are, you know, the fluidity of, you know, our bodies and, you know, our identities really. And it's over summer. And a lot of the seasons do play a very, very important role. The horse, obviously, this sign of, you know, virility, masculinity. You know, it's beautiful. The texture in this film is quite beautiful. It's a stunning, stunning film. And I only
Sounds
saw
amazing.
It on DVD, but I'd suggest to see it on the big screen.
I know that you'll be going amazing. And seeing it on the big screen again.
Yes, and I love Argentinian cinema. So I like Argentinian cinema, so... Yeah, that's called The Last Summer of La Boyita.
And that's one of the centrepiece presentations, so it's bound to sell well. So I would recommend if you're interested in coming along to some of these films, you need to start purchasing your tickets. It does start on Thursday, peeps.
It does.
So you've got to get your tickets on.
And once the festival starts, the tickets go very quickly. So you can, you know, mqff.com.au.
And, you know, we're nearly at the end of the show, but we still have a prize to give away. This is Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul on Joy 94.9. This is a Pink Popcorn podcast. That's the Naked and Famous Young Blood. You're on Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul. We have some very lucky and happy winners. We've had two comps today. And
like two.
I know.
Lord, so many films.
So Graham from Noble Park won the double pass to the Joy sponsored screening. And congratulations, Graham. That's excellent. And Rosie from Eltham, who suggested Sean Penn in Milk as her favourite
outstanding
straight
Very
actor
good choice.
Playing gay. I just bumped into James Finlay from the Glory Boys on Monday Breakfast, and he said Colin Firth in Single Man is his fave, just off the top of his head. So it's always good to have a straight actor playing gay in your back pocket. You never know when it's going to come in handy. What are we talking about next week?
I've got next week, funny we'll be feeling. Talking. Yes, well, we'll be right in the middle of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, so we'll be talking about some more films, some more recommendations to go along to, but also Kaboom, which is opening the Melbourne Queer Film Festival on Thursday night. So we'll be talking about that.
And if you happen, you know, get your tickets for opening night. It always does sell out. It's always a rocking night. There's always the party afterwards, and then there's an after party. Yeah. You know,
and then the after. And oh, then before is that, you know it, it's 7 o'clock.
I didn't know that party. At your place?
We don't do that. We know. You and I.
We're very sensible.
We're nanas and grandpas. We leave early.
Speak for yourself. And so, but what's great about Kaboom is that if you do happen to miss it at opening night, it will be playing at Cinema Nova the following week in a limited season, so you can certainly get along there. We'd like to thank Christian Connolly from Cinema Nova for coming in and talking about all the fantastic queer content films that are coming up there. Heaps to look out for.
And in terms of review-wise, we talked about Hal, the one film this week. So, and both Kylie and I gave it 4 stars. And, well, it wins the queer quota. Really.
Hands down.
I think everything wins. It's a draw this week. We love everything equally. And
everything's
queer.
equally queer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.